had the drums bring in this brother here. My name is Juwanza. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. You're listening to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. You know, every time I do a show, I always say I got a special show lined up for you. And I do, because they're all special. I mean, every time I sit in front of this microphone and I bring somebody to you, we're either going to be talking about your health, your wealth, or your divinity. Well, tonight we're going to be focusing in on your health. If you've been following the show for a while, you know that we've been doing a series called The Fundamentals of Health with Brother King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. And if you're just tuning in for the very first time, I'd like to say welcome to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I don't know how you heard about us, but I'm so glad that you did. And hopefully that when the show is over, you will be so full that you will recommend the show to other people as well. Because, again, we're going to be talking about health today. Again, we've been doing a series called The Fundamentals of Health with King Coy Dunstan. And let me tell you a little bit about the archives before we get started. Every show that we do is archived. So that means you can go back and listen to a show that you may have missed. So, I mean, whenever we do the shows live, you might not be available live. So we record the show so that you can go back and catch on what you missed, okay? So during this series, if you missed them, you can go back to the archives. We started off the series with digestion, assimilation, and elimination. Okay, we went from there to what is fasting. Then we talked about herbs. We followed that one up with exercise in the brain. And the last show we did was eliminating stress. And today we're going to be talking about giving the body what it needs. Give the body what it needs, okay? But let me get to my special guest, okay, because I know that, again, when you're tuning in and you're listening to somebody talk about something as important as health, you want to know, why am I listening to this person? Why am I listening to him? Or why am I listening to her? What kind of information do they have that's so important that I'm going to sit down and give them my undivided attention for an hour to listen to them talk? Well, I guarantee you, once you hear this brother's testimony, you'll know exactly why you're listening to him. Again, my special guest today is King Coy Dunstan. Brother Coy, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's always a pleasure and an honor to have an opportunity to speak with you. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me, and good evening to you and your audience. It's good to be back with you. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm excited. Again, every time I have an opportunity to share information that is life-saving, that's life-changing, and, again, you're one of those people, man, that have been touching lives, changing lives, and saving lives. And I can't think, again, of a higher calling than to have the calling of actually changing and saving lives. I mean, the work that you do cannot be overstated. I mean, it is so impactful. I mean, to change a life, to take a life that's headed one way and then to turn it around and get it on another path, or a life even that was about to expire, and then to have that person come to you, put their trust in you, and then you actually give them and share with them what they need to do. And if they do it, they actually can extend their life. I mean, that's powerful, very, very powerful stuff there, man. If you don't mind, Brother Coy, for those listeners who are tuning in and have never heard you before, can you share with our listeners your powerful testimony, how you got started on the holistic health path? I mean, because it's truly a remarkable story. And every time I hear it, I get inspired, and I know it inspires the listeners as well. Can you share with those who may be tuning in for the first time, who haven't heard your testimony, what got you started in the holistic health field?
All right. Well, it was back in 1980. I had completed my Juris Doctorate degree in law. That's the law degree. And I just wanted to take a break, so I went home and to spend some time with mother and father and all that. And the day I got there, my mother was coming back from the doctor that day, happened to be, and she had said the doctor told her that she needed to go to Duke University Hospital as soon as she could. She had some condition, he couldn't diagnose it, where in the town that we were in, lived in. So we had to go to Duke to get a better diagnosis of what the problem was. So we took the next morning, Dad and I got up, and we took my mom up to Duke University and admitted into the checkup room where you go in and you check up and enter into the hospital. And they kept her that day to do more tests and to really find out what they could do for her condition. So I guess at the end of the day, or the next day, they came back and told that my dad and I that they were going to keep her for a while because they thought she had cancer in the breast, the liver, and the colon. And it was metastasizing, but it was spreading. And, they kept her for another couple of weeks, and after a period of time, I guess they say they gave her an ultimatum, like, we're going to give you, you either take chemotherapy or you'll have to go. And if nothing else they had to offer her that they thought would make it any better. So I guess at that time they was asking permission, and my mother asked me what would I do if I was her, and I say, well, I would probably just pack up and go home, get ready to go home and meet my maker, because I mean they've told you die, you're gonna die, and you know why are you gonna go put yourself through all that? She took our advice and we got up and went back home, and after it was about a month, 6 weeks later, and I was coming back from home in Lewisburg, North Carolina, to D.C., and I stopped in Richmond for whatever reason, and there was a man on the street, had a packet of information, that, and he happened to put it in my hand and say, you ought to come to this meeting and listen to what we have to say. I didn't know anything about him or never met him, but I just took the paper and kind of just put it in the car. And like when I got back here, I sit down and start reading it, and it was all about how to reverse disease in the body. I say, well, what is this? And I went back down the next Monday night. I went back down to their meeting, and I was just astounded at what they were telling me, and I'd never heard it before. But they were saying you didn't have to be sick, and you can deal with diseases, or you can reverse diseases, all that, you can prevent diseases. And after I heard that presentation and faced with what I was faced with, I was convinced that this is what I'm supposed to do. God trying to tell me something, and what else am I supposed to do? So I took the information. I learned all I could about the herbs and how to prevent disease and all that, anything that I thought was available. And at the time, it was a company called Nature Sunshine, and they had probably one of the best educational programs along with their products. So that's how I got involved with the herbal products. And probably about 3 months after she was out of the hospital, they came out, Nature Sunshine came out with this product called Pardaco. And this herb had been touted as emptying the cancer wards in New Mexico. And when Nature Sunshine got it, everybody was thrilled, and I really took it home, and we started drinking it and all the other things in addition to what we were doing in terms of dealing with the disease, dealing with the diet, getting through the depression, and building up the whole process of healing with fasting, with the spiritual nature of fasting, the spiritual side of fasting. So you can, you got to go deep and find something greater than you to do what you can't do. Because if you could do it, you wouldn't need to ask for help. So we did got into the spiritual side of healing, and after about probably 6 months, they told us that, whatever you're doing, you keep doing it. We see the cancer reversing, and come back to see us next month. So that's kind of where they dropped out. And so 10 years later after that, to cut the story short, that's when she died. She lived 10 years after that. She was able to get up and move around, and even did some preaching after she was healed with the cancer, and lived a pretty good life after that. So after that, I was just dumbfounded, and that was like in 1980, and I've been doing what I could do to tell everybody that I can tell that they can do something about their living condition, that they don't have to be sick, that they can educate themselves a little bit about how to eat and what to eat and how to improve or reverse disease. Just do a little study and get with people that understand and want to make a difference in their life and, you know, begin to prevent diseases. That's the first thing you want to do. But it's a mm-hmm. hard road to do because we are creatures of habit and we're going to do what we want to do. And it's hard to convince people that when it comes to their eating that there's a better way of eating is making you sick, or how the way you eat or how you eat is making you sick. People just not got that kind of base of education to understand what that means. And as a result, we keep doing the same thing, getting the same diseases when they're all preventable, and anything that's preventable, you don't have to go through this. So that's the kind of the story of my life and how I got to do what I'm doing and why I do what I do. And I guess that's going to be what I do till I die.
Well, you know what, man? It's an amazing story. It's an amazing testimony. And one of the things that's amazing to me is that the guy that you met on the street in Richmond, that I assume that, because you never spoke about him again after that initial meeting when he gave you the paper, I don't know if you ever saw him again. He has no idea, if you didn't keep in touch with him, he has no idea of the miracle, or we call it a miracle, but giving the body what it needs, if it responds, it's the way the body's supposed to respond. But he has no idea that you went on to, you know, change your life and your career. It didn't just change your mother's life, it changed yours. You went on to become, you know, a very renowned healer in the Washington, D.C. area, and he has no idea. Did you ever see him again after that?
We like came the best of friends, I mean, in terms of doing the business and also just being a spiritual help to each other. But we stayed together until he died. That was probably around 1990, somewhere around there. And I'm still tied to his family, the Bashaw family in Midlothian, Virginia. They got they got a little shop there still, I think. And they got a little shop in New Jersey, upper state Maine or somewhere. They got an office up north. But, they are still in the business. I'm still in the business. I still get communications from them. We don't talk as much as we used to because I got stuck in the restaurant side of it, the food side of it. And but they're still doing primarily the production, selling the product called Nature Sunshine Products. That's their top sellers in the company. So that's how we stay.
You know what's interesting is that when he was doing what he was doing, just passing out the information, you know, and that gives me even hope as a host of this show, because you never know who's listening and what's going to take place when they hear this information. Somebody could hear this information, actually come see you, get healed, and then go off having their own testimony and do what you did, just change their whole life and then just start, you know, on a whole new path down a whole new, career in holistic educating people, healing people. You know, you just never know when sharing who's going to hear it, and then once they hear it, how it's going to change and transform their life. Before we get into the show of today, Give the Body What It Needs, I had another question concerning your mother. And you shared with her that, okay, Mom, you know, let's try this. Let's try this new way. Okay, let's try, the elimination of meat, dairy, sugar, all of those things that you had to eliminate. Now, because her condition was such that I assume that you had to go real radical. It wasn't like you had a whole lot of time because the doctors had only given her 6 weeks to live, so it's not like you could do things too gradual. You know, I assume a lot of stuff had to be done at one time. Okay, we got to eliminate the meat, the dairy, the sugar, all that's got to go, and it's got to go now. You know, was she shocked by this approach that, okay, to healing, that, okay, Ma, we got to stop eating meat? You know, was she, because there weren't a lot of, at least not a lot of black vegetarians back then. So
right.
When you shared with her that, Ma, we're going to, you know, eliminate the meat, was that something that was new to her? Was that new information? Because a lot of people, you know, we think that a lot of people would know about it now, but there are a lot of people that just are not making the connection between food and healing. Was she surprised by the fact that that was the approach that you were taking, that you were going to start eliminating meat and dairy and things like that from her diet?
Well, it was the only thing she could eat. I mean, what happened was we did the juicing. When we got into the juicing, most of her content was into the juicing side of eating. It wasn't like she could eat a lot of solid food because of her condition. So the raw
okay.
juices is what really helped her, as I think, as much as anything else. But when we got the Pardiaco and the other things, introduced those things into it, in addition to the her getting her mind right for this, it just took off. But I suppose it wasn't. I don't know when she started eating solid foods again, but it was late. Probably at least a year after she started the whole process of healing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's interesting because, again, a lot of times when people are at a point where they still have a choice, like you said, they gotten to the point where she wasn't eating a whole bunch of solid foods at that point where she was. But there are a lot of people that when it comes to them making the transition from a meat diet to a plant-based diet, they still can eat, you know, solid foods. And so that
yeah.
makes the decision to make that transition sometimes more difficult because they still have the choice and they can still exercise that choice. So that's why I asked that question. But that's a powerful, powerful
yeah.
story, Brother Coy, and I know that the listeners who have never heard it before, I say, as I always do, that whatever your condition is, Coy's mother's testimony can be your testimony too. But if you want to get the results that she got, you have to do what she did. And the first thing is listen. Have an open mind and listen to information that you may not have heard before. Well, again, today we're going to be talking about give the body what it needs. Again, we're in the middle of a series. Brother Coy has been very gracious enough to share with us information, taking us through a series on the fundamentals of health. Again, we've talked about digestion, assimilation, and elimination. We've talked about what is fasting. We've talked about herbs. We've also talked about exercise and the brain. That's very important. I don't know how many people make that connection. And we talked about eliminating stress. And today, we're going to be talking about giving the body what it needs. Well, Brother Coy, well, if we could start here, because when we talk about giving the body what it needs, maybe we can start with what we know we should not be giving the body. What does the body not need, you know, that
uh-huh.
we consume on a daily basis? What would be some of the things that you would take away? Because I know there are certain things, we'll get into what the body does need, but what does the body not need? For example, would you say, to somebody just starting and listening, you say, okay, well, what don't I need? It might be easier to start there. What does not the body need that I'm eating now?
It needs no processed or pasteurized or in any way tampered with food. It doesn't need to like white milk and white sugar, white butter, most anything that's packaged in the supermarket has been processed somehow or pasteurized or something. So your body that's against life when you eat that kind of food. So that's what you don't need. The problem comes in what do you begin to replace all of that with? And that's an evolving subject now that's taken off in a whole nother direction in terms of what a vegetarian is and whether or not even a vegetarian is a healthy way to live. So we have to look at the kind of food that's available to us and what has been done to it, and then whether or not it's something we should eat. And that's where you have to start, because if you have not, if you don't understand what you shouldn't eat, then what you're eating is probably killing you, or at least causing your disease. So if you have to do some studying, you have to stay on top of this, you have to really get into the latest information about why we are getting sick, and you have to figure out what's best for you to eat. So that's the first step. Once you do that, then you have to find it and acquire it and learn how to fix it so that it can be. Or if there is some food you're eating now that's not properly prepared or cooked, then we can make those corrections that we need to make with that. That's what we have to really start doing in terms of reversing diseases that we have in our system. And it's going to take some energy and some time, and it's going to, you won't, if you can go to the store and get it, you know, we haven't connected with you yet. If you go to the store and try to buy food, fast food, or even just to a supermarket even, if you just go to those places to buy your food and eat whatever you buy there and not understand what you're eating or how to eat it, you haven't really got to the point to where you want to make this step in terms of correcting or preventing disease. So I think that's probably the main thing. But now the information is saying that we have heard about gluten, we've heard about digestive problems, we've heard of acid indigestion, all of those things that we get as a indication that we are doing something wrong, that we don't, the only thing we do is go buy something off the shelf and take it so we can push it down or not correct the condition, but just soothe the condition so we continuously get sick when we have acid indigestion and hiccups and all the other things that come with digestive disorders. Those are warnings that we're eating something that we shouldn't be eating, and we need to learn how to heed those warnings. So if, like, you have beans, you eat beans and you get gas or you get some kind of discomfort in your gut, that's an indication that there's something in that bean that maybe not, that's not agreeing with you. And we are learning about lectins now, L-E-C-T-I-N-S, lectins. And believe it or not, that's probably more pervasive in the food than gluten or any other chemicals that you might have in the food. These lectins are what really covers up your digestive system and prevent the body from assimilating. So the whole thing now is, what do you do to control these lectins, and how do you eat to avoid them, and how do you prepare your food? Maybe you can prepare your food a different way to get this lectins out of your digestive system, because we're finding out again that these lectins are causing a lot of gut problems, and most of us have, most of the diseases come from, or inflammation, say. That's why we say the vitamin C is good, because it helps break down the vitamins, it break down the inflammation in the body. And this lectin causes like a neurotoxin, it's like toxic, like poison. So over time, your upset stomach turns into digestive problems or constipation, and from constipation you go into high blood pressure. From high blood pressure, or diabetes, and from diabetes you go into heart attack, and on and on until you kill yourself. So this mm-hmm. process of getting the lectins out is probably more important than more important than what you eat sometimes, because maybe there are some things that might not be considered to be vegetarian, like meat, that maybe some meat you can eat if it's prepared properly. It may be some other food you can eat if you prepare it properly. But tonight we're going to talk about the lectins and how to get those out of your digestive system and out of your food. And usually, ideally, the only way to do that is to either pressure cook or ferment. You know, you ferment, you let it, mm-hmm. You let it begin to break down or rot, and then you, or you can steam it, cook it up, heat it up enough so that the lectin is depleted or gone.
Is lectin found in a particular food? Is there some food that lectins are found in, or is lectin, is it found in the food, or is it a condition that actually takes place once food is not digested and it forms in the digestive tract or the digestive system?
Well, it's usually a grain, the seeds, the pulses. All, you know, we talk about, we need, as a vegetarian, you should eat grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables. That can be true to a certain extent, but a lot of those grains, particularly grains, beans, seeds, contain the lectin. And if you don't
okay.
cook them right or prepare them right, then you ingest them, and you gotta you are not correcting the problem. You're still adding to the problem of long-term digestive or long-term immune system breakdown. That's what you're going toward, and that leads to other diseases. So if you pressure cook them, though, or if you steam them, ferment them, pressure cook or steam, chances are, if you got to eat them, that's the best way to eat them. But that, you know, hardly ever you see anybody steam cooking anything these days. So what are we eating? So that's kind of...
But you're talking about particularly beans, though. I mean,
particularly beans.
Beans.
You know, if you're not eating meat, you're eating grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Everybody, so now you got some homework to do. Lectins, L-E-C-T-I-N-S.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hearing about lectins. I mean, again, that's why we do this show, so that we can learn. And, again, we have an opportunity to sit and learn from a brother who's been doing this work for a long time. If ever there's anything that I need to go see somebody about, I go see him. And because
yeah.
I go see him, because I do this show and I listen, then I don't have to go see him. I get good reports every time I go to the doctor. But if for whatever reason you have gone to the doctor and you have not gotten a good report, you know, there are things that you can do. As opposed to just taking the doctor's recommendation, oftentimes they might recommend, whether it's surgery, whether it's prescription drugs or whatever, you know, there are natural remedies that can alleviate, in most cases, whatever it is that you're dealing with. Brother Coy, let's talk for a moment about, if we can, back to giving the body what it needs. A lot of people talk about protein. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people that do support and encourage the eating of meat do so. They claim that, okay, well, the body needs protein. What are your thoughts on protein and other sources of protein for those who just don't want to support the meat industry? You have people that say, okay, well, I heard you, Brother Coy, when you mentioned that, you know, they're maybe certain situations where it's okay to eat meat, you know, but let's say they just are just straight up vegan and they don't want to support the industry. They don't want to support the killing of animals under any circumstances. So if there's another source of protein, can you talk about those other sources of protein? Because there are some people that just feel like they have to eat meat because of the protein.
Yeah, well, it, again, is how your body received that protein. If you are looking at, I guess most protein basically comes from animal fat. So if you are ingesting the animal fat and adding and mixing it with animal fat to mix it up to drink it, that can be a problem. But we know that we are live enzyme organism. We need live enzyme food. And if you're taking a protein supplement, it's dead. There's nothing in it. It's the only thing, if it's a powder or a pill or something, it's not going to give you what you're looking for. If you really want to stay with a live enzyme diet, then you can juice green leafy vegetables. You can make milk with the nuts. You can fermentation and pressure cooking. You can do those things with the beans, and you would be getting it directly from the food source as opposed to it being processed. If it's been processed, you want to look at it again and figure out another way to do it. So, yeah, you can do the green leafy juicing vegetables, plenty of protein. You can use the beans or pressure cook the bean in a way that you can absorb that protein without the lectins. And maybe just look at the food a little differently in how you cook it. Probably don't use the stove so much unless you are doing pressure cooking. And fermentation, learn more about the fermentation process. Like we used to know how to can food. We would grow the fruits and vegetables or whatever, and we would can them for the winter so we'd have something to eat. We don't do too much of that anymore, but that's another way because, that's a fermentation process in a sense, and it's also a process of fermentation and pressure cooking because you have to really cook them in a way that you get all the basically kill everything in it, and then you can it in a way to preserve what the nutrition of the food is. So, yeah, with that mm-hmm. process, you can still eat the food, but you may have to prepare it differently is what we're saying, yes.
Okay. Well, what about water? We know that the body is made up of water as well. So, I mean, when it comes to water, many of us don't drink enough water. When it comes to giving the body what it needs, how much is too much? And or would that vary depending on a person's size, weight, you know, all of that would play a factor, I'm sure. But even when it comes to water, how much water is good and what type of water?
Well, water is a whole new game now. The water that we are getting, if it's not being processed through some filter or some filtration process, is probably contaminated. So we want to begin to understand more about the water that we are drinking. We need to understand where it's coming from. We understand how it's been pasteurized or cleaned, and effective. I'm trying to say how effective the process in which they process the water is being. Used to actually give you the water that you need. Again, you're a live enzyme organism, so if you're eating a live enzyme diet, you're going to get plenty of water. But if you're not on a good live enzyme diet, you are going to have to at least look at your water in different ways. Initially, you may want to do a little distilled water to help kind of to flush out some of the toxins that it can flush out just by drinking mm-hmm. distilled water. But eventually you need to go into a good spring water that has been purified or if you can find it from a spring that is not contaminated. You want to look for that water, or you want one that's been just a good spring water or water out of the mountains. That's because it's less contaminated, because it's above the toxins that's going into the earth. But the spring water is usually, you want them high in the mountains or from the mountains, and that's why you get the purest water. But you also want the water to be alkaline because because of the way we are, we create a lot of acid in the system. We eat a lot of fast food. We eat a lot of meat. We eat a lot of not healthy foods, so that creates a lot of acidity in the system, and disease loved acidity. So you have to make sure that your water will at least help balance the pH to more alkaline, so that you can keep the immune system strong to fight these diseases off. But that's the importance of water and why we should drink it. But generally speaking, you can say you can drink half your body weight in ounces daily. And if you can do that, you should be safe. But if you're doing a lot of juicing or a lot of raw food, a lot of water is in that too. So you may want to adjust that a bit. You may not have to drink as much, or in some cases you may have to drink more. But generally speaking, half your body weight in ounces is a good rule to start with water.
So if somebody just said, "Well, I'm just gonna try to do a gallon a day and call it a day," would that be okay?
Probably at some point. I don't know if I would start out with that. I would first of all look at the weight. So if you say 200 pounds, 200 and plus, between 200 and 250, you'd be about right with a gallon a day. If you're looking at half your body weight in ounces. But if you are not over 200 pounds, then you may want to watch the water. If you can drink that much, that's fine. But you have to know you don't want to drown yourself in the water that you're drinking, too much water. You don't want too much water. Your body is like 80% water, but that you have to know the level of your hydration. If you're not thirsty, or if you're not eating a lot of garbage, or if you've got a pretty good diet and you're eating a lot of raw, you're not going to have the urge to drink as much water as if you are on a bad a standard American diet. If you feel you need, if you're on the standard American diet at the same time as you're on the standard American diet, you're going to try to replace the water with a lot of sodas or sugar, and that sugar is just as deadly as not drinking water, because the dehydration is going to come either way. The sugar just speeds it up, so it speeds up your deterioration or your disease process in a way that is not good. It's not going to work out good if you're going to stay with that, drinking sodas instead of water, or doing other stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing, including eating to make you, if you're eating wrong, it's going to make you thirsty and you're going to drink the water and you're going to flush some of that out. But generally, if you're eating wrong, it continually builds up in the system, and the water you tend to replace with sugary drinks or coffee or something else that you shouldn't drink, and that complicates the issue even more. So you have to be aware of that and insist that you drink more water. At least you want to work toward half your body weight in ounces. If you can get that, you can kind of live with that, yes.
Well, and keep sustaining with the water for a moment. When we talk about dehydration, I think a lot of times when people think of being dehydrated, the image that comes to mind is somebody maybe on a hot day in the summer not having drank enough water and falling out. I think that is the image that people have when it comes to dehydration. It's a hot summer day. Somebody didn't drink water. They've been drinking soda or beers all day, and then the next thing you know, they just fall out, and they say, "Oh, well, I must have been dehydrated." But what's actually going on with the organs internally? When you don't drink enough water, can your organs actually... I'm sure this would happen over time, if at all, but could your organs dry up? I mean, just because you're not giving the body the liquid, the life-giving nutrients that, come with spring water that the body needs, the elasticity of muscles that need water to, maintain their flexibility, their elasticity, could muscles, not just muscles, but organs actually dry up as a result of, what more can happen than you just falling out on a hot summer day because you haven't drank enough water?
Well, that in a way, that is what's happening. Your body is screaming out to you, "I need more water, I need more water," and you're ignoring what your body is telling you. So you're just progressing in the disease process. If you don't want to you have to understand dehydration is probably one of the main reasons we get sick. And if you're dehydrated, your immune system can't work. You don't have energy to feed your organs. Your body stops. Your circulation slows down. That's the disease process that we are in. We have to get out of that process by doing the things that we're talking about tonight in terms of drinking at least an adequate amount of water, maybe more, maybe not so much. But if you we can all probably double the amount of water we drink each day with and still be within half our body weight in ounces. So, yeah, we need to your organs, your body needs oxygen and water. You gotta give it good clean water and breathe good clean air. And if you're not giving it that, you may be trying to self-diagnose or self-serve yourself by going into bad habits, and that's where you pick up the soda drinking liquor, the drinking the beer, all of that. Instead of just drinking some water, we're drinking all these other things, and that aggravates the problem, and it leads to more dehydration. So the first thing you want to do before you go out or think about drinking anything is make sure you got the proper amount of water in you, and that'll probably help you keep you from drinking too much. It'll probably help you control your drinking, if anything. But when you're just drinking alcohol and sodas, you can sit and drink that all day and just act a fool and do foolish things all your life. And maybe that's what we like to do, but that's not. If you're gonna do that, then we are not talking to you. We need to, if you want to make something or do something different or find a better way. That's what we're trying to give you tonight, yeah.
And so as we move into the colder months, though, the amount of water, again, should not decrease. It still should be half your body weight in ounces. Don't think that just because, you know, it's not the summertime that you don't, you know, we always stress in the summer, make sure you drink your water, make sure you got enough water, you know.
Yeah.
But even in the wintertime, it still holds true. The rule is still the same, half your body weight in ounces, correct?
That's correct, because we don't understand that when we got on these coats and all wrapped up, we are losing a lot of oxygen or a lot of water, and we're using maybe more water than we would in a summer day because we are smothered in these jackets. So, yeah, we need to drink that water probably more often in the winter, because that's when you should be flushing out from the summer. The old stuff you ate last year and during the summer, you should be flushing yourself. Now, this is a good time to fast. This is a good time to go on a good cleansing fast because the body would respond best during this time between now and the end of the year in terms of fasting. But we do just the opposite. We sit down and we're going to eat everything on the table, and we're going to drink everything somebody put in front of us, and we're just going to pig out, and you know, next after January, they all be coming in to see me, trying to get that stuff out and trying to control their blood pressure and all the other stuff that we have to go through, instead of just, you know, cleaning up the diet, cleaning up what you eat, and doing what we know we ought to do. This is the time of the year to do that also. So if we want to engage in the gluttony, that's one thing, but if you this is the time of year you should be really be thinking about what you're doing and counting what you've done for the year and trying to decide what you're going to do with it instead of giving it back to somebody that don't care nothing about you at the end of the year. And at the first of the year, you have nothing. You have to start all over again. That's making no sense. So all of that ties into it because it's like an addiction. And the way they feed us is designed to encourage and promote what they want you to do instead of not giving you enough time or even enough space to think about what might be best for you and trying to implement that. In fact, they almost make it illegal for you to do that. So you have to be careful in terms of how you celebrate holidays and why we are celebrating holidays, and is it really making economic sense for you to do what you do during the holidays. All of those things, you have to have a clear mind. And the things we are trying to get across are the things that will help us do that and make better decisions in terms of how we live our lives and what we do with the time that we have here on earth.
Brother Floyd, could we talk for, but before we do, I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to join the conversation. If you're listening online and you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. My name is Jawanza. My special guest today is King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. We're talking about giving the body what it needs. Great interview. Brother Coy, can we take a moment and talk about nutrients and supplements? Nutrients and supplements. We know that everything that we eat has got something in it. You know, it's got whether it's good, whether it's bad, everything we, you know, the body definitely needs nutrients. And, you know, there are people that say, well, you should get all of your nutrients from food. Okay, but then there are supplements out there that, you know, people, you know, are fond of taking supplements. I would assume that ideally it would be great if you can get all your nutrients from food, but there may be some, for example, that you might like, what is it, vitamin A, I believe it is, that is that the vitamin that you get from the sun, and you rarely get enough sun because you have to stand out in the sun for a certain amount of time just to get enough vitamin A in you. So there may be, my point is, there may be instances where you actually need supplements because it might be difficult to get all of your nutrients from a particular food. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. The foods that we're eating oftentimes these days have been processed in some way, and it may not have the nutritional value that it did 50 years ago, primarily because of big agriculture, the way they grow it. They have depleted the soil, and the fertilizers that they are using are contaminating the food, the seed. So we have a situation where the whole process of eating is now contaminated. So this time of the year and how we should be trying to correct some of that is, again, the sea vegetation is excellent in terms of absorbing a lot of the heavy metals and toxins that we get in the food supply, in the water supply, and in other things that we come in contact with in terms of eating. Sea vegetation is probably one of the best things you need to make sure you begin to take. I mean, you don't have to try to do everything all at once, but at least begin to give your body something that it needs. So the sea vegetation, you can get the spirulina, the bladder rack, all of those things are kind of from the sea. The food from the sea that we can eat, not the fish, not the the living things with a mouth or eyes or nose, not those things, but the plants that come in the sea, that's contained in the sea, there are plants in the sea, a bunch of them, and we are learning how to use them to prevent and correct some of the conditions that we live with today, like toxins in the food, the chemicals that we come in contact with. Sea vegetation has a way of absorbing that or reducing the effect on the body. The bladder rack is also good for drying it up or taking it out. So we would want to really get heavy into those things. And because our digestive systems, now we know that most everything that we have been eating has left us in a compromised health position. To begin to correct that, you have to, the sea vegetation and the bladder rack, all those things will help do that also, but you need to add at least an enzyme or a probiotic or something to help restore the digestive health that we should have because it's been so compromised. So a good probiotic, that's why you should take that, and if you can, and if you do that along with maybe something to cleanse with, and don't forget your vitamin C. Your vitamin C keep your immune system up. If you do those things, you're going to probably do yourself a good favor in terms of being able to transition into a better way to eat and a better way to live over the next year. It's probably a good time to commit that over this next year I'm going to be in blah, blah, such and such a place by this time next year. This is the time we should just be, you should be thinking about that. If your mind is clouded with a lot of the other stuff that we do, you're not going to do that, so you're going to keep wandering around like a wobbling wheel and not going anywhere, and that's what we're trying to get people to stop doing.
Again, everybody, if you have a question, all you have to do, a question or a comment, all you have to do is just press 1 and we can bring you on and you can ask your question or make your comment. Brother Quad, can we talk about even just rest for a moment? Because that's something I think that's so very overlooked when it comes to holistic health. People, you know, are always on the go, ripping and running, working 2 jobs, 3 jobs, you know, working in even working at night when they're supposed to be sleeping, you know what I mean, and trying to sleep during the day, you know. Could you talk about rest and the importance of rest and the amount of rest that the body needs, because that's so very important and so very overlooked, I think.
Well, I think the problem with that is just that, like you were saying, we're so busy, we don't take the time to really eat right or do the things that we should do to keep the body up. We're inside all day looking at a computer, or we are not outside enough to get the sunshine that you need to get the vitamins that you need from the sun. And I guess probably the biggest one is the vitamin D3. And if you're inside a work, or you have worked all your life in an office building or something, chances are you have a D deficiency. And that creates a lot of the, or aggravates a lot of the conditions that we get, like arthritis, digestive disorders, the dimming of the sight, all of those things, your deterioration, your visible deterioration that you feel, you're tired, your bones and your joints ain't feeling right. Chances are you are vitamin D deficient. And if you begin to do what you can to correct that, ideally, we should be in the sun 8 hours a day, but we are not getting that sun. So as a result, it interferes with everything else, the hormonal balance of the body, because we have hyped ourselves up because we're sitting at a desk all day eating sugar or drinking sugar. And then at night when we try to sleep, your body is go, still in the go mode, so you never really come to a place to rest. So you want to replace that with just making sure you're getting your vitamin level. You want to first get it from the food, but again, our food is so depleted of real vitamins now, and minerals or food supplements that we really need, they're just gone. They're not there anymore. So we have to supplement our diet, and sea vegetation is one of the things you should add to your everyday foods, sea vegetation in some form. It comes in a lot of forms, and you can do a lot with it. If you can, you could begin to use sea vegetation as a replacement for meat if that's what you wanted to do. But that would take some, you know, maybe over the next year you could do that. You could learn how to do that. So the whole idea is to commit to doing something different in a way that's going to improve your health. And sea vegetation is probably one of the best things you can get in your system. You can get it in a lot of different forms. You can get it already packaged or prepared, or you could get it from the sea itself. Just make sure it's from a place where that's not contaminated, and begin to use more and more of the sea vegetation over the next year, and you would do yourself a big favor with that. If you did nothing else but that and drink your water, you would probably improve, because all your vitamins and minerals, any vitamin and mineral you can think of, is already in sea vegetation. Anything, even the ones they haven't found yet, is in sea vegetation. So that's why I'm so big on it, because sea vegetation is probably the most complete food on the planet. And learn how to integrate that in your diet by whatever means you can, and you should see some improvement with that also. Yeah.
Well, for those who might not, you know, be at a place where, you know, they're adept at preparing the meal yet for those who are just making a transition and they haven't really, you know, gotten to the point where they're really, you know, a wizard in the kitchen like you. You know, when it comes to sea vegetation, they can actually get it in a pill form, right? I mean, you actually sell the sea vegetation, correct?
Right, from a company called Wachter's, probably the best supplement company on the planet today. Wachter's, W-A-C-H-T-E-R, and you can go online, look them up, go through their information, a lot of information on the website, and you can begin to integrate it that way. You don't have to worry about whether it's clean or not. Probably the top line sea vegetation from around the world they use, and it's just a matter of just taking it and. They have it formulated for certain conditions or certain diseases that we go through. They have a formula with the sea vegetation already in it and all the other stuff to go with it in this supplement that you can just take every day. That's a good way to start. Yes, if you don't want to, you know, go into the juicing and all that other stuff right now, but. Over the next year, I would think that if you can commit to doing more juicing, taking more sea vegetation, you're going to do yourself a big favor over the next year. Or by the next year at this time, if you are doing more of that, you're going to be a whole nother person, a whole new person, a whole different person.
Well, Brother Quay, when it comes to giving the body what it needs, now there may be different nutritional needs for men and different nutritional needs for women. Are there something that, you know, specifically, if you were to say for men, okay, just as an average, you know, for men, if you would like to improve your health at this time next year, if you want to say, okay, I'm going to make a commitment to, you know, really, really getting on top of this health thing, if there was something specific for men, and I'm sure it would, of course, depend on an individual's condition. I mean, of course, for somebody that's dealing with prostate cancer, then there would be one particular regimen. But just as an overall, is there something that men need to focus on in terms of giving the body what it needs, more so than women? And then we can talk about what women may need.
I think probably most men, if they have a problem, it's a hormonal problem, and we need to learn how to deal with the male hormone a little better, maybe, and how to use the hormones, or how to keep the hormones working the way they should work. All the things we talked about, the way we eat, the things we drink, the stuff we ingest otherwise, all of that affects the hormonal balance in the body, and over time it will weaken your ability it would diminish the difference between a male and a female. You begin to mimic each other so much because we're eating the same thing. We're not specializing in anything particularly that for the men or the women, and we're becoming more and more like the same. So we would have to look more at the male hormone and decide what's the best thing to do to keep the male hormone, because the way we drink, the water that we drink, the chemicals that we take, all of those things are depleting the male hormone drive. And there is you can get formulas already taken, already formulated that will help rebuild the male hormone system. Most companies might have one, but I would caution the fact that you don't want to get too much of the stimulants like the Viagra type stuff and the Cialis type stuff. I don't like that either, because it's more of a stimulant, and really over long term it weakens you. So you want to do it first of all. I mean, not that you won't ever do it, but first of all you want to do it through your food, through the things you eat. So if you're eating things like sulfamedo berries or like yohimbe, or you're adding, if you're doing the green leafy vegetables, your vitamin C, all of those things, and just break off into the vitamins that with the male hormone. There are female hormone vitamins, supplements, or herbs, and they're male hormone herbs. So you want to eat more of the male hormone herb, the sulfamedos, the damianos, there's a list of them that you can, if you look at a male hormone formula or a herbal formula, there'll be about 10 or 15 herbs in there, and those herbs are the herbs that you should concentrate on eating more of and keeping in your diet. And the women should do the same. There's certain herbs that women should do, primarily the red raspberry. They should be on it every day. And those are the things we should do to nourish our own hormonal balance so that we don't slip too far one way or the other. But there are formulas already formulated to balance the hormone that made by most companies that make supplements. They have a formula to balance the male hormone. They have a formula to balance the female hormone. And if you start using those, you can probably do a lot to begin to at least lessen some of the effects of poor hormonal function in the body.
What about, you know, yeah, I was actually thinking about women today because, you know, I was thinking about just the species, the human species, right, of men and women, male and female. And women tend to really have a lot of stuff going on, you know, with their bodies. I mean, even from just, you know, menstruation and, I mean, just even, you know, even as menopause, and then at some point, you know, yeast infections and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, women have a different experience with their body than men do, you know. For the most part, I think when it comes to men, a brother may, you know, have prostate issues and, you know, erectile dysfunction, you know, and that might be caused by the prostate issue, you know, but women... Yeah. You know, they go through a whole bunch of stuff when it comes to their body, you know. So, yeah. I mean, from the time they're young, growing up, and even into their, again, even topping it off with menopause as they get older. Even when it comes to women, particularly, even as an age, looking at it from an age thing, would there be certain nutrients that you would recommend for a woman that you would not recommend for an older woman? I mean, for example, if a woman has had let's say she's already gone through menopause, would she need less of a particular mineral, say, or vitamins than prior to? Or would that, is it, or does that not affect the amount of particular nutrients that a woman may need? And I would assume that if a woman during her menstrual cycle, if she's still having a cycle, that loss of blood, there would probably be a loss of iron, so that would be a consideration as well. Your thoughts?
Well, if you look at the vitamin supplements on the market, the ones for women would generally have iron in it. The ones for men won't, because they found that iron has a different effect on the men, and it may have inflamed the prostate or whatever prostate cancer might promote that. But the women need the iron because of all the things they go through. But again, it's a hormonal problem, and I would suggest women, particularly women, look at other women around the world, like the Oriental women or even the African women. They don't seem to have the level of concern about the problems that American women have, primarily mm-hmm. because we, again, I think it's sugar. We eat a lot of sugar, and we give sugar as a show of an affection for a woman. I've never been able to understand that too well. You know, candy, we always send them candy or whatever. And all of that, it interferes with the function of the hormone in the body, and it really makes them wacky. They're out of balance, so to speak. So, the essential fatty acids, you got to get your essential fatty acids, and a good multiple vitamin for women will do a lot to help curtail the effects of the hormonal imbalance in the woman. But you got to have those two. And I would, again, add the vitamin C to flush out the stuff that's causing the problem. So the vitamin C, a good multiple vitamin formulated for women. And Essential fatty acids. You got to have those three to be, deal with the male. That's the basis of dealing with the female hormone imbalance, and from there you can add the other things that you see, like the DHEA and all that. But that's the basic program you need to be on to really keep the flashing and the things that women go through to a minimum, or to alleviate them, or reverse them, or at least lessen them. Over time, you can do that with an essential fatty acid, a vitamin for women, and maybe some vitamin C to flush, and a colon cleanser maybe, or something like that. That would be a good preventive measure for women to take, or even if you're already suffering with it, if you can do that, you'll find that it would ease the pain or ease the process to the point to where that it's a little more bearable, maybe. And that would be what a woman would need right now.
Well, shifting to the man for a second, what about zinc? When it comes to zinc and the prostate, I've read somewhere that zinc was good for the prostate. Your thoughts?
Zinc is good for male hormone. The zinc and the vitamin D, the vitamin D3, probably the highest milligram you can get, would be essential for a man's balanced hormone. And then you can again add the multiple vitamins for men and the male hormone balance formula to get the full complement of what a man would need to maybe improve his stamina or endurance, or whatever he's trying to do, be more manly. They improve his sperm count, all of those things you can do with the zinc and the vitamin C and the vitamin E. You need to help with that. And the male, just get the male an herbal hormone formula for men, and a good multiple vitamin would pretty much cover the interest of a man that's concerned about their testosterone.
What about ginseng? That's been something that's been touted as a male enhancement. Your thoughts on ginseng?
Well, the thing with ginseng, most of it on the market is what's called Siberian ginseng. It's an illitro something. It's a long word. The problem with that is really not a ginseng. It's like a genetically modified ginseng, and it mimics ginseng, but it's really not a ginseng. And if you really want a good ginseng, you need to. It's going to cost maybe the cheapest you're going to get is maybe a $40 or $50 a bottle ginseng. If you really want the real ginseng, the Korean or a Chinese ginseng to do what ginseng's supposed to do. But if you can get that kind of a ginseng, yes, you can do maybe a little bit each day. Over time, it should improve your energy level, and it should, if you get the real ginseng, it should improve you all around. Or you could add that to the vitamin that you get for the man, and you can also continue to do the hormonal, balance formula. You can just add more ginseng to it. But you want to make sure it's a real ginseng and it comes from the ginseng root. And there are many ways you can get it. It's just going to probably cost a little more than the usual on-the-shelf Siberian ginseng. Even there's an American ginseng that you can get, and there's a Korean ginseng that you can get that would be a better form of ginseng if you want to do it with the ginseng. But the ginseng alone would help, but you need to still supplement it with the omega-3 fatty acids. Again, you need it, the man need it too, and a good multiple vitamin and the hormonal balance, yeah.
I just having this conversation with you today, during the course of the conversation, I mentioned vitamin A, and you mentioned vitamin D as far as the vitamin for the sun. I assume I was wrong. What's vitamin A good for? Because I think I messed up and said the wrong vitamin when I was referring to us not getting enough sun.
Well, vitamin A is the form of the formula for eyes, usually for the eyes of the head. Vitamin A is usually come up until lately we would say Caris was a good source of vitamin A, and it is, but it's, again, it has the lectins and it has the toxicity in it. So if you want to do it, you maybe want to just do the carrot juice. Just get the whole carrot and juice it, and that may be enough to get past the process of trying to break down the chemical makeup of the lectins in it. But usually if you want a good source of vitamin A, you're going to have to wind up taking a supplement, a vitamin A supplement of some kind, probably about 5 to 10 1,000 milligrams a day would be close to enough. But again, it's in the family of the omega-3, and that's why I don't really talk a lot about the individual vitamins, vitamin A. It's in the family of the omega-3. It's a little different, but if you can get a good source of the omega-3 fatty acid, that's going to generally give you the, enough of the fats, the essential fats that you need for the body to function properly, the hormones and everything else. You need to get... that's why you need to take the omega-3 fatty, essential fatty acids, they call it, because your body don't make it and you got to take it. And oftentimes we don't take it and we don't get the benefit of it. We deteriorate sooner than we should. If we were to keep the essential fats in the diet, the earlier we start, we would eventually cut down on brain disease, the forgetfulness, and all the stuff we going into Alzheimer's with. The omega-3 fatty acids would help with that. The vitamin C would help flush down the inflammation, and you would probably do a pretty good job of avoiding mental deterioration as you get older. That's how you would do with that, and that's why you would want to do more of the vitamin A maybe.
What about flaxseed, Brother Coy? You know, a lot of people are very high on flaxseed. Some prefer the gel pill, and some prefer just taking a handful of flaxseeds and eating it like that. Do you have a preference when it comes to the flaxseed and, you know, the way to ingest it?
Well, the flaxseed, again, is just a source of essential fatty acid. It's an omega-3 fatty acid, and that's why it is. And it has the fiber, so we don't get enough fiber, number one. So doing the flaxseed, you're getting the fiber and the omega-3s. That's why you would use it. And the best way to use it, I guess, it would be either the seed itself, just maybe they crush the flaxseed, or you could just get the whole seed and just soak it overnight, and overnight it would, like, turn into, like, a jelly, like a egg kind of jelly. That's what you would want it to do. If you soak the seeds overnight, it should turn into a jelly, and then you can spoon it out and put it in your food or use it in the place of eggs or use it in the place of whatever, primarily eggs. It would help in baking more so maybe than cooking on the stove. But the flaxseed itself is a good source. You can mix it on cereal. You can mix it on a smoothie. And it gives you the fiber and the omega-3 fatty acids that you need. And I'm thinking that if you do a smoothie, you probably want the crushed seed, or the whole seed, and you soak it overnight, and then you add it to your smoothie. That is probably the best way to take the flaxseed.
Well, Brother Coy, lastly, if you don't mind, could we talk about chlorophyll for a moment? Because when you talk about juicing green leafy vegetables, you know, chlorophyll is found in high concentrations in green leafy vegetables, and that's what we're looking for when we're juicing that. When it comes to chlorophyll, would you recommend for those who aren't going to juice? I mean, we have these shows and we make these recommendations. Some are going to follow the recommendations, some aren't. But for those who do not, say, well, look, I don't have time to juice like that or whatever, would you recommend liquid chlorophyll, just getting some liquid chlorophyll, and then that way you don't have to actually juice the green leafy vegetables to get the chlorophyll, but you can actually get it from the supplement, the liquid supplement?
You can. That's an excellent way to do it. The idea, though, is like the chlorophyll, I think the best source of chlorophyll comes from the sea, not from a plant that grows out of the ground. So if you want chlorophyll, that's another reason to do the sea vegetation. But you can also get straight chlorophyll from the sea. It's kind of pricey, but you can do that, and you can, again, in this superfood era that we're in, you can add it to your smoothie for superfood or super smoothie you can make by adding the chlorophyll and the spirulina even, and just the plain sea vegetation powder that you get to get complete the fiber, the essential fats, all the stuff that you need to take. You can actually probably put it in a smoothie of some kind and drink it.
What about moringa, real quick, as a supplement? I mean, we know, you know, the history behind moringa, but just the high concentration of vitamins. I don't remember. I did an interview with Kwaku Andu years ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, the high concentrate, more vitamin C than such and such, more vitamin this than that, you know, I mean, a very, very high concentration of a lot of vitamins and minerals. Would you recommend moringa as a supplement?
Well, absolutely. If you do a research on moringa, that's what they're using in Africa to curb starvation. The people that are coming out of these droughts and long, prolonged periods of no food to eat, they're using moringa to bring them back to life, really. So it is a life-saving food, and I would recommend you can add that to your list of things that you should increase your use of over the next year. It's moringa. It contains everything that your body needs. It's like the moringa and the quinoa. The quinoa contains everything. Quinoa is a little grain. It contains everything the body needs. So if you mix the quinoa and eat the moringa, that kind of stuff, the seed, and you have the powder, any way you can get it, if you begin to use more of it, you're doing your body a favor. So, yes, I would say make sure you add more quinoa and moringa to your coming year's diet, over the year's diet. And this is what we should be preparing for Thanksgiving, to show that we appreciate the health and the wealth that we've gained over the year, and we're going to do the best we can to do better next year, and we're going to start by feeding ourselves what we want to, what we need to be able to sustain what we are doing. Yes.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, it's right around the corner, and there's going to be a lot of people that are listening to this show, and they're like, you know what? I'm gonna wait till after Thanksgiving before I start my transition. You know.
Well, and if we can get it on their mind, and if they go there, that's fine. I can live with that. But the sooner you start, the better. So, I wouldn't play with it, because it's your health, and it's you only have one life to live, and you need to begin as soon as you understand what you need to do to make a difference. The sooner you do that in your life, the better off your life is going to be. So you're going to be better off starting this if you're 30 than you would if you wait till you're 40 or 50, is what I'm saying. So you want to start as soon as you can, and you want to learn how to fast. You want to say, over the next year, I'm going to do at least a 7-day fast, and I'm going to make it, if I have to join a group or start a group too, I can have some support to do that. But you are fasting to strengthen your will to do what you say you're going to do. And when you come off the fast, you're going to have a better idea of how to eat and how to prepare your food, because you're going to listen to this tape again and you're going to know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Quay, you mentioned fasting, and I want to tell people all about your shop and how they can get in contact with you. The body, you know, we talked about rest for a moment. What about fasting, just taking a rest from eating, you know? Is that something, would you say that that's, I mean, some people view fasting as a choice. I'm not talking about the nightly fast you break fast in the morning on a daily basis, but just fasting, would you say that that's something that the body actually needs, that people actually, not just as a choice, that it's okay, it's all right as an option, but would you say it's an actual need, that the body actually needs periodic fast to maintain its optimal wellness?
Absolutely, because over time, as we are creatures of habit and we will do things that we know we shouldn't do, and we don't want it to build up or become a way of life. So fasting helps us break that addiction or that move toward an addiction. Fasting helps us clean that up, strengthen our minds so that we can maybe at least stop doing what we are doing long enough so that we can get some benefit from it. So fasting is something that we need to learn how to do. If we're not doing it, we need to learn how to do it and do it. And that would be probably a good place to begin. But again, you have to work at it. You have to get yourself ready for that. And you can start by eliminating things that you know you shouldn't be doing over the next month or so. And then maybe by the springtime or Lent season, you're ready to take a nice, at least a good 7-day fast. Lent is 40 days, so you're asking you to give up something for 40 days. So that would be a good time to fast because it's in the air. That's what people are doing, and you would have a lot of support during that time. And then from there, at least maybe every year or every other year, you want to do a good 7 to 14-day fast just to keep your mind strong and to convince your body that you love it enough to let it rest and give it a chance to heal. Yes.
You know, people, when you said 7 days, I'm sure a lot of people were like, 7 days? It's very hard for some people to imagine going 3 days without solid food, much less 7 days. But you increase your odds of being successful if you know not just how to fast, what to do during the fast, but what to do prior to the fast and what to do following the fast. And like I mentioned, Brother Coy did a show recently on the fast, on how to fast. So you want to definitely go back in the archives and listen to that show. You can follow the show by just clicking follow on Blog Talk Radio, and then that way you'll be notified. Every time Brother Coy comes on, you'll be notified of when, the date, the time, the topic as well. So definitely check out that show on fasting, because there's a way to do it. You want to make sure that you're successful, and you don't want to leave the fast thinking, I'll never do that again. You want to make sure that you leave the fast thinking, oh, that was pleasant. That wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And then you'll look forward to the next one. Brother Coy, anything before we give the listeners your information and how they can get in contact with you, anything that we haven't covered on giving the body what it needs that you think that we need to add before we let the people know how they can reach you?
Well, I think the whole idea of what we're talking about here is how to live a good, decent, pleasant life, not fighting, not in confusion or turmoil all the time. To get along, learning how to get along better, learn how to listen to other people, and learn how to accept what they say in a way, and then converse about it in a sane way without having to kill each other. That's really what we're trying to do here. And the things that we've talked about is how we can get there and what we can and the way we can get there without a lot of fanfare, so to speak. Just begin wherever you are and make a commitment to do this for yourself and your family, and you begin to do whatever you can until you can do what you want to do. And that's how you make corrections, change anything. You have to make the commitment, and then you stake out a plan, you follow your plan, and you complete it. And at the end of that process, you'll find that you'll be a lot better off, and things won't bother you so much. You learn how to accept other things and other people the way they are, and be an example for them, maybe to be more like what you want them to be like. That's what you want to do.
You know, if you think about it, you can imagine what would you be doing if, for whatever reason, if somebody's listening to this show, if there's a health challenge that you have, what would you be doing if you didn't have that health challenge? You know, for those people that are, you know, taking medications and having regular doctor's visits, what would you be doing if you didn't have to go back and forth to the doctor to deal with whatever the condition is? You know, some people have gotten so accustomed to doctor's visits, that's become a way of their life. I mean, whether it's to get, you know, dialysis or whatever, that they can't even imagine what their days would be like if they didn't have these other health-related issues to deal with, you know. So when you think about the reason that you were put on the planet and what you were doing before you got sick, if it's not something that you were born with, you know, just imagine what you would be doing if you didn't have to go to the doctor. If you just, if there were no doctors, just imagine if there were no doctors because nobody got sick, you know, what your life would be like. There would be no need for this show, you know. And so with that in mind, you can strive towards that and you can get back to that. Like Coy mentioned, the doctors had given his mother 6 weeks to live. When Coy was done with her, she was back in the pulpit preaching, giving praise and glory to God. Okay? But there was a process that she had to go through. Okay? There was, first she had to listen, then she had to act on the information that she heard, she had to be consistent, and she had to have faith in the process. So we encourage you, everybody that's listening, if this show wasn't for you, it was for somebody that you know, or else you wouldn't have been tuned in. So now I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to get in contact with my special guest. I call him King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's been doing this work for over 35 years successfully. And I guarantee you that if you give him a call, and not just call him, but you make it by his establishment, you can sit, you can talk with him, you can set an appointment, you can get counseling, you know, you will be better for the effort. Brother Coy, how can people reach you? Can you give them your hours of operations and tell them about Secrets of Nature and some of the services you provide?
Yeah, I'm located in Southwest Washington, D.C., 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest. I'm in the Southwest quadrant, 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest in Washington, D.C., 20032. The telephone is 202-562-0041. Our hours of operation is from 8 to 6 p.m., and if you call and get an answer machine, just leave a message and someone will get back with you as soon as they get the message. But don't feel free to stop by. We have a kitchen. We do a plant-based diet, I say. We try to do as best we know how to do. And that's evolving and transforming every day, and we're making differences and changes as we learn better. And that's what we all have to do, commit to do better as we know how to do better. We have the supplements that we talked about tonight in the store that you can just buy or get shipped to you anywhere you are. And we have the information and the consultations and the things that we do to help people determine the best road for them to go on. So, yeah, we are there from 8 to 6 every day but Sunday. And if you call and don't get an answer, just leave a message and someone will get back with you as soon as possible. But that's where I am. That's what I do. And love to see you in the place. We need you.
Well, you know what, Brother Coy? I'm telling you, man, after this show, I'm making a commitment now on the air that, you really convinced me about that sea vegetation, man. I'm going to get some of that because, you know, yeah. It sounds like it's with all those nutrients packed in a pill, you
yeah.
know, you know, that just seems like it would be crazy not to do that. You know, when you can do the research and see that all of these nutrients, a lot of nutrients, life comes from the sea, you know.
Yes.
And if you
That's
can
correct.
Get all of these nutrients and some sea vegetation and just get all your minerals so easily, it'd be crazy not to. So I think that's one of the things I'm going to really incorporate this year, upcoming year. And again, I want to say, oh, happy Thanksgiving to everybody that, you know, tuning in today. Brother Coy, you going to be open? You doing anything for people who, you know, say, listen, I don't want to eat any turkey, but I need some options. You doing anything for, can people stop by and get something?
Well, I haven't, so far I haven't planned anything for Thanksgiving, though I haven't heard from anyone that wanted anything. But again, if you call and you want to order a Thanksgiving dinner or something for you can put on your table for the vegetarians to eat, you can call and we can prepare it and get it to you, or you can pick it up before Thanksgiving. You want to do that in the next day or so at least, so we can prepare it and get it ready for you for Thanksgiving Day. But we can do that, yes.
Well, Brother Coy, again, my brother, I want to thank you again for a great, great interview. I encourage everybody to go back and listen to it again. The show is going to be archived, so if there's somebody that you know would enjoy this information, you can actually direct them to the archives. They can actually follow the show on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening and you haven't followed the show, all you have to do is just click follow, and then, again, you'll be notified every time Brother Coy comes on. And, again, we've got archives full of shows with Brother Coy. Again, we're in the middle of a series he's been blessing us with. And, again, we've talked about a lot of different topics, and this was just the latest in that series. But we've talked about digestion, assimilation, and elimination. We've also talked about what is fasting. We touched on that today. Again, I encourage everybody, if you haven't listened to that show, to go back and listen to what is fasting. You need to know, not just during the fast, you need to know what to do prior to and after the fast. We talked about herbs. I mean, we talked about exercise in the brain, eliminating stress. I mean, all of these shows are powerful in and of themselves. So I encourage you to go back and listen to those shows and get brought up to speed. Brother Coy comes on once a month, normally on the first Thursday of the month. Had a little variation this month, but we'll be getting back to that next month. First Thursday of next month, he'll be back. And again, Brother Coy, I thank you, my brother, for, you know, all of the work that you've done, that you continue to do. You've given us extra time today. Thank you so much for that, my brother. I really appreciate the extra time that you gave us today and for all of the work that you continue to do serving our community as you have been doing for so many decades, my brother. I can't thank you enough.
Well, I appreciate what you do, because if you didn't do what you do, no one would hear me. So how can I not appreciate what you do to get the word out and to do all we can to let the people know as best we know how to do?
Yes. Well, brother, again, I commend you for your work. I wish you the best for happy holidays to you, my brother. Can't wait till our next show. Again, everybody, don't forget to write this number down. Stick it on your refrigerator. It's the number to Secrets of Nature. That's 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. This show is heard all over the world. I mean, we've gotten, you know, information that people are listening in the Netherlands and other places, okay? So we want to let you know that wherever you are in the world, don't think that just because you might be overseas or you're not in D.C. that you can't benefit from the information or the products that Brother Coy sells. He can ship them to you. Okay, so that's not an issue. So don't let that be a hindrance, okay? Just want to make sure that you're aware that wherever you are, we haven't got to the moon yet, but we're working on it. So just wherever you are, don't worry. Coy can get it to you. Brother Coy, thank you, my brother. I'll be in touch. Everybody, thank you so much for your time. Great show, Brother Coy.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Peace.
Peace. That is King Coy Dunstan, everybody, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Again, you want to give him a call at 202-0041. That's a very important number to know. Okay, you need to write that down. You actually need to memorize that number, okay, because this is life and stuff happens. And even if you have a question, let's say, for example, there's somebody in your family that's dealing with something. Okay, let's say it's not you personally. Let's say it's somebody in your family and you need an answer, okay, and you're not really sure, you don't trust the doctors necessarily, and you're into holistic health, and you want to know, what can I take for this? Or, you know, Brother Coy, do you carry such and such and such product? You know, give him a call and find out. He can get it to you, okay? And he can get an answer to you, okay? He does consultations. He does phone consultations as well. So give him a call. If you need a phone consultation, you're not in the area, you can't necessarily stop by the store, but you're out of town or something, you can do a phone consultation with Brother Coy, okay? Again, he's been doing this work for over 35 years. He healed his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon after the doctors gave her 6 weeks to live and has been healing ever since. So, having said all of that, now the question is, so what are you going to do? He's open tomorrow, okay? So give him a call, 202-562-0041. Again, my name is Jawanza. Thank you, everybody, for your time. I do appreciate you. To all of the new listeners, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's great to have you aboard. Again, I hope you're enjoying the show and enjoying the archives. So until the next time, everybody, my name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.